This is a brief book summary of The Godly Man's Picture by Thomas Watson, published by Banner of Truth Trust in 2020. This book is 277 pages. This book is part of the Banner of Truth's box set of Puritan classics. Watson's original work was first published in 1666. Summary. Psalm 32 shows us that a godly individual finds true happiness in the forgiveness of sin. It is an act of pure grace when God forgives us for our sins. Through the blood of Christ, God cancels both sin's guilt and penalty. When we repent, our sins are forgiven and forgotten by God. It is so sweet to have forgiveness and so dreadful to be without it. When we are forgiven, we are to pursue godliness. We may understand godliness as the sacred impression and workmanship of God in man, whereby from being carnal he is made spiritual. Godliness is real, not a vain conceit of religious enthusiasm. It takes root deep in our heart by the supernatural work of the Spirit of God. Godliness does not touch only some parts of our lives, but rather permeates every area. It makes us intense and makes us zealous. It is glorious and a permanent fixture in our lives. Scripture tells us that there are many false professors and hypocrites who are internally corrupt, all while making a show of godliness. To have a show of godliness is to delude oneself and to enrage God. Hypocrisy is despicable to both God and man. Counterfeit godliness will be of no avail at the time of death, and the hypocrite will receive Satan's scorn. Even godly persons may have a spot of hypocrisy, but it will not prevail everywhere with them. Those who are overcome with hypocrisy serve God for their own ends or cherish a sin that they will not give up. To sketch a picture of the godly man, we start with his knowledge. Those who are godly have supernatural knowledge of God, and they walk in divine truth and wisdom. Their knowledge is well-grounded and gives them confidence. It allows us to see Christ's proper worth, and it quickens us to serve Him. Those with knowledge apply themselves to Christ, owning Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord, and their knowledge sanctifies them and stops sin. Such knowledge transforms us. It causes us to be emptied of self and of pride. Those who know God increase in their knowledge and increase in their obedience. There may be many who have heard of Christ and have head knowledge of Him, but who have not trusted in Him. They love darkness rather than light, and their judgment will be severe. People take great pains to increase in knowledge in many spheres, so let us take the greatest pains to increase in our knowledge of Christ. It is only by the Spirit that we can have the right knowledge of God, so praise the Lord if He has done this work in you. Faith is the living principle which animates the soul and motivates the godly person in every area of their life. The life of a saint is nothing but a life of faith. Faith empowers us in every way, and it is a fortress against every trouble. Along with faith, love is the other great pole of true religion. A godly person loves God, delights in Him, wants to be close to Him always. The truest test for godliness is if love for God is the center of our existence. Those who love God and trust Him will be like Him. They will think like God and concur with His judgments. In their likeness to God, they are holy and hate sin. They conform to His will in all things. Believers strive for holiness and wage war against sin in every encounter. Without holiness, no one can have communion with God. The Greek word for godly signifies a true worshiper of God. Those who are godly are exacting in their worship and will accept nothing impure or mixed. They will not add or subtract anything from God's orders for sacred worship, and they will hate all superstition. Those who are godly serve God and not men. They serve one master alone, bound to Him and always at His disposal. They will follow Him anywhere and accept from His hand whatever He dispenses to them. God is the best master, faithful to bless His servants, and His service is the best service. There are six principles in God's service: freedom, honor, safety, gain, assistance, and the provision of all that we need. Christ's servants are bought with the price of His blood. Those who do not serve Christ are slaves to sin, and from their master they will reap damnation. The godly individual prizes Christ because Christ is precious, and they perceive him to be precious. Scripture frequently uses imagery to reveal the different facets of Christ's value and sweetness. His blood has opened heaven for redeemed sinners, and he rules over everything in the universe. Saints desire nothing above Christ, and they esteem nothing as his equal. There is no value in knowing everything in the world compared to knowing Christ. If we can be content without Christ, we do not know him. If we prize him, we will pursue him and delight in him. Let us prize Christ, because without him we will perish and never enter into eternal life. Those who slight Christ now will be slighted by him when they are judged. Although he is forgiven, a godly man mourns and weeps for individual sin and the corruption that clings to him. He weeps because he is sometimes overcome by sin and is not as holy as he would like to be. Sometimes a godly man weeps because he is overwhelmed by the love of Christ. He may also weep because the sins of a justified man are particularly odious, since they dishonor God who saved him and loves him. Some mourn hypocritically, others mourn the judgment rather than the sin. Those who never shed righteous tears do not know the Lord. Those who are godly love the Word of God. They walk according to it and delight in it. They are directed, rebuked, and comforted by it. Godly individuals constantly read the Word and meditate upon it, hiding it in their heart. They esteem it as better than everything else, and they love to discuss it. More importantly, they long to be conformed to its truth. It is in the Word that we find guidance and comfort. In the Word we see the truth of God and also have our own hearts exposed. The godly love the written Word, and they also love the preaching of the Word. We should love the holiness of the Word and grieve to think that the Word might be withdrawn. God's Word rebukes our sin, and if we love the Word, we will love the reproof it gives us, since this is used by God to make us holy. God's Spirit lives inside the godly. He guides us in accord with the Word and leads us to serve Christ in the freedom of sonship. God's Spirit regenerates and vivifies, giving life to the child of God. He teaches and sanctifies God's children, ruling over them and making their hearts soft before God. He testifies to the reality of our faith and standing with God, giving us comfort by showing that we are in a state of grace. To do this, he shows us Christ's blood and reminds us of God's love. He quiets our accusing conscience and gives us joy. The ungodly may have a taste of the Spirit and truth, but they are not nourished by it. To say that the ungodly have the Spirit of God is blasphemy. The Spirit will not live where Satan dwells. Without the Spirit, we can do nothing spiritual, so pray to God for the full measure of his Spirit as a gift. If you have the Spirit, you have the sign of election. Make sure that you walk with the Spirit and do not grieve him. Someone who is godly is humble of heart, not merely humbled in circumstances. One who is truly humble has lowly thoughts of their own self and esteems others as higher than themselves. They see their own sin and know how impure their best acts of service have been. Hypocrites magnify their own good, but the humble recognize their lack of holiness and only magnify Christ. The humble will accept rebuke so they can grow in wisdom. They are also willing to decrease that Christ may increase. They will perform any office or task, no matter how low. Those who are proud boast and brag. They have a high opinion of themselves, and they despise others. They try to steal the glory of God, and they murmur against the station that he assigns to them. Peter commands us to be clothed with humility, so we must strive to be humble. Pride is a tremendously offensive sin against God, and it begets numerous other sins. When we think of ourselves in proportion to the greatness of God, and when we consider that Christ humbled himself in his incarnation and death, we must be humbled. When grace is poured in, prayer is poured out. Hypocrites may say prayers, but only the godly pray in the Spirit. Prayers are not just words, but with the heart and the desires. Real prayer is fervent, holy, and humble, and it is poured out of a contrite heart. It must be joined with faith, or else it will be shipwrecked. We must pray in Christ's name, seeking his will and offering our prayer in line with his role as mediator. The ungodly do not pray for grace, but pray for things, so they may spend them on their lusts. Those who pray well will also work. Those who never pray or who seldom pray are not godly. God's children will frequently be at prayer. We should pray at least twice per day. There is great power in prayer offered in Christ's name, and God has given us many promises to induce us to pray. Those who are godly are sincere and live without guile or subterfuge in their hearts. The godly man is transparent, striving to please God and to acknowledge his sin. Those who flatter and lie cannot know God. Sincerity is not itself a grace, but it is an ingredient found in every grace. For example, Christian love is sincere love. God loves those who are sincere, and he accepts our imperfect and our weak service when it is offered with a sincere heart. Satan does not mind profession and religion, but he hates integrity. Hypocrites and liars bring great shame on the cause of Christ. Without sincerity, he will find no comfort in the hour of trouble. A saint is someone who belongs to heaven even while they live on the earth. They choose what belongs to heaven, and they place their affections on heavenly things. In both word and deed, they live for heaven rather than for this world. Regardless of their lot in life, their expectations are in glory, and as such they imitate Christ and display conduct fitting to his image. The world is passing away. It is poor and contemptible compared with Christ and eternal glory. Heaven is a better country in every way, from its natural order to the people who are there, to the revealed presence of God. Saints are zealous for God, burning with passion and love for him. Those who truly love God have a holy anger against evil. False zeal is blind, misguided, and self-seeking, not rooted in the true knowledge of God. True zeal cannot abide dishonor to God, and it will brave and face hardship for his sake. The more that truth is mocked, the more we will love it and be fervent in the Spirit. Those who never feel zeal when the Lord is dishonored do not know him. If the cause of Christ is worth anything, it is worth pursuing vigorously. Like Job, a godly person is known for their patience. Those who are patient will wait for God's timing for their deliverance, and they will bear whatever trials come their way. Disquiet of spirit, discontent, prejudice, and self-vindication are antithetical to patience. When comfort is removed or evil is imposed upon us, patience is a needed virtue. God never takes anything away without giving us something better. Never forget that we can never lose Christ. Look up to heaven. If we love something more than God, in mercy he may take it away from us, even if it is our closest relation. It is in the furnace of affliction that God melts us and refines us. Afflictions are for our benefit. They are friends of grace and make us wise. Faith is the prerequisite for patience. Praise and thanksgiving come from heaven, so the godly are known by being thankful. Scripture is filled with the praises of the saints, and it is only the godly who can praise God aright. Thanksgiving exalts God and is a noble, holy work. Anyone can ask for things, but saints rejoice and declare God's excellencies in their thanksgiving. Many have complaints, but few have songs of praise in their hearts. We are to love God more than the blessings that he gives, and we are to rejoice more in spiritual fruit than material goods. True believers will be a grateful people. God blesses us abundantly now, but the greatest blessings are yet to come. Ingratitude is a horror at any time, but it could not be more odious than when it is directed toward God. A proud person will never be grateful, since they believe that they deserve all the good things that they get. The best way to discern grace in oneself is to love grace in others. In true religion, we are led to love others. The love of believers for one another is sincere and spiritual. Even though everyone is imperfect, we are to love them anyway. Our love must be demonstrated in a variety of ways, and it must be constant rather than waxing and waning. The world is to know that we are Christians by our love. Yet how little love there is in the church at the present time. The world is against the church, but it is sinful and unnatural for the flock to turn on itself. If our love fails, the Lord withdraws his presence and glory from our midst. Let us strive to avoid contention and dispute and whatever else quenches love. Although a godly man sins, he will not indulge or nurse any sin. Wicked persons love their sin, but saints hate the sin inside of them and fight against it. Godly persons will shun secret sins, since they know that God sees all and holds all to account. Many will avoid gross sins, but pursue sinful courses for material gain. Many have one sin that they will not let go of, but the godly surrender all. Our besetting sin can be identified by its power over us, our defense of it, our thoughts of it, and the difficulty we have in giving it up, the trouble and the distress that it causes us in dark times. Do not make the mistake of the world by thinking that some sins are small and unimportant. Sins of omission and sins of the tongue are deadly. One sin is all that is needed to damn and destroy. Those who are godly have good relationships with others. They discharge their own responsibilities well, whether as a magistrate, a minister, a husband, etc. It is a terrible sin and a disgrace when people's lives contradict their calling and profession. A godly man will be a godly father to his children, bringing them up to know the Lord. He honors his parents as well. Those who are godly are both good masters and good servants. Those whom God approves are holy in all of their relationships. A godly man does spiritual things in a spiritual manner. He engages in his religious duties with intensity, motivated by grace. We have wandering thoughts, but we will try our best to be disciplined. We need to fix our thoughts on the purity and the holiness of God, as well as remember the high nature of the duties that we are called to do. Spiritual duties can only be done in faith and through spiritual hearts. Let us not go through the motions, but truly engage. Godly persons are thoroughly trained in religion and all of its practices. They obey all of the law of God. They are not hypocritically selective, and they conscientiously perform every duty. One of the marks of the godly is that they walk with God. Noah was known for walking with God, which he did by preaching with both his words and his life. Walking with God is visible, and it can only be done by grace. Those who walk according to fleshly opinions and lusts are not godly. In the fear of the Lord and in faith, we can walk with God in a way that is pleasing to Him. Those who walk with the Lord can make Him attractive to others. There is nothing greater than walking with God in this life, and it is needful in death. To walk with God, we need to get off the road of sin and get to know Him better. Learn to like His ways and to take His hand. Since a godly person wants others to know that God as well, they will walk circumspectly, love Christ, and make Him attractive to draw others to His side. They will encourage every grace and will advance piety. All of the signs of a godly person that we have looked at are the evidences that one is a Christian. If anyone has any of these marks in truth, then they have them all in embryo. Those who do not have these things need to strive to get them engraved on their hearts. Do not be content with external forms or general stirrings. Ponder the terrible condition of those who are dead in sin. Even while they live, they are under the wrath and judgment of God. They cannot please God. In contrast, the godly are precious to God and loved by Him, as well as set apart for honorable purposes. They are known for their wisdom, bravery, and happiness. There is nothing more rational than to strive for godliness, since nothing is so excellent or brings so many blessings. The world offers vain things, but godliness gives what is best and what is needed at death. In striving for godliness, use every possible means to produce it. Think holy thoughts and keep a tight watch on your heart. Spend your time well, knowing your purpose in creation and the shortness of life in this world. We are influenced by the company we keep, and so spend time with those who are godly. May those who are godly be steadfast and not waver in their walk and profession. Apostasy ruins souls and turns others away from true religion. Beware of the things which lure us away, like covetousness, unbelief, and cowardice. Ensure that your experience of God is real, humbling, and transforming your heart. Get a clear knowledge of God and choose His path. Put coals on the fire of your soul to cause it to blaze. Walk in integrity and practice self-denial. Guard your heart and strive for assurance of salvation, relying on God's strength and not your own. There is nothing more honorable in old age than to be godly. Think of how sinners persevere in their sin. How much more should the godly persevere in godliness? We lose nothing and we gain everything by being godly, and we can win others to Christ. There are staggering rewards promised to them that persevere and overcome in Christ. Those who are godly still need to hear and to heed words of counsel. Real godliness can be dimmed or disfigured, so guard it with care. Christ loves the godly, and he will not break the bruised reed or put out the smoking flax. The bruised soul is one that mourns for its sin. Christ has compassion on all who do so. God loves nothing more than a contrite spirit. Christ is gracious and will never break the bruised reed, and all with hard hearts will be broken by his hammer. Be encouraged by Christ's promise and grace, and do not dishearten those whom Christ will not break. We can grieve over the hardness of our hearts, but there is a difference between a hard heart and a heart that has some hardness. Even where there is much corruption mixed with grace, Christ will not put out the smoking flax. Rather than quench ourselves, we should stir up the flame. Grace is incredible. Despite Satan and our sin nature, it is not extinguished. This persevering strength comes from the Holy Spirit, so we should do our duty and walk with him. In grace, we are to love and to labor. There is a sweet and spiritual union between Christ and his people. Christ is the federal head of his people, and he also effectually stamps them with his image. Our union with him is mystic, spiritual, and real. Christ unites with us to live with us and to make us fruitful. This marriage relationship is more intimate and delightful than any other, and it cannot be severed by death. Do we love Christ and give our fullest consent to this relationship? Every saint married to Christ is elevated to the highest honor and can enjoy the highest degree of delight. Christ pays his spouse's debts, gives her his beauty, and he gave her his life. Our union with Christ is the source of great comfort and help in the midst of the trials of life and death. As a true spouse, let us love Christ with all that we are, and let us rejoice him, showing how much he means to us and adorning him as a crown.